Yagadata, and we're up to Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. We had, if you remember, a mnemonic device, and we went through pretty much all of them. We had four and then another five. We got up to Navlusa, and that's the last one here on the list. And the Braisa continues and says, Bavon Navlus Peh, for profanity of language, Soros, Rabos, Uxeris, Koshos, Mizchachos. They are very harsh decrees and punishments. So this is about halfway down the Amud. And we finished a little bit about Shemitah and Yovel and the punishment for violating those mitzvahs. Now we're up to Nivel Peh. Yisomim, Valmonis, Tzorkim, Vienom, Nanim. And God will not answer the prayers of the orphans and the widows. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, in Yeshayahu Anovi, Al Kain Al Bachurov Lo Yismach Hashem, Hashem will not rejoice over his youth. Ves Yisoma Ves Almanosov Lo Yirachim, he will not have mercy over the orphans and the widows. Ki Chulo Chonef Umeira, for all of them are hypocrites and evildoers. V'chol peh dover nevola, and the mouths of everyone speaks obscene language. V'chol zos lo shav apo, his anger is not turned away. V'yod yodo netuya, his hand is outstretched. And that means that there'll still be harsh punishments. The hardships of orphans and widows as a result of this widespread use of obscene language. These are the calamities that are going to occur. My v'od yodo netuya, what does this pasuk mean when it says God's hand is still outstretched? Omer of Hanan bar Rava kol yodim kala lo menichnas alechupa ela kol amnabel piv afilu chosmin olav gzardin shal shivim shana letova hofchin olav lira'a. So that even though we know why a bride goes into the chuppah to be married, there'll be an intimate relationship, but nevertheless, if someone perverts his language and his speech, and he speaks it out, he expresses it explicitly, coarsely, about the intimate relationship that the bride will enter into, then even if in heavenly courts he was sealed for a favorable decree of 70 years, it will be reversed and put in place a decree for evil. And the Gemara came to this conclusion in the V'od, because when it says in the Pasuk that Ki kolu uchulu chanaf umera v'chol dvar dover nevola, is V'od yodo netuya, that the word V'od is also spells out the word Va'ad, which means forever. So God's hand is outstretched against the one who speaks obscenities forever. That means as far as the lifespan is concerned, which would have been a 70-year lifespan. Omar Rabba Bar Shilo, Omar Rav Chisda, Kol Amenabel Espiv, Ma'amikim Lo Gehenom. Gehenom is even deeper than it normally is, because he used perverted language. And this is based on a pasuk in Mishle, Shucha Amuka Pi Soros. A deep pit is for the mouth that speaks Zorus. And Divrei Zorus is identical with Divrei Nivel. And he's going to fall deep into Gehenna. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Omar, Af, even the person Ashomea Vishosek, he listens to Nivel Peh, and instead of protesting, he is quiet about it, he will also be punished. Just like a person who listens to Lashon Hara. And the source for this is Shenemar, In the next part of the pasuk, it says, Ze'um Hashem Yipol Shom. Ze'um Shal Hashem is Hashokhein Eitzel Hamanabel Piv Vishomea Dvar Vishosek Haresh Zoem Hashem. Hashem is angry. Gamal Hashomea Vishosek. Even on the person who listens quietly, silently. And Zoom means an abhorrence. He's abhorred by Hashem. Shenofel Shom beGehenim, and he falls deep down into Gehenim. And the implication of this verse is that somebody who's nearby, and he's also absorbed, abhorred by Hashem, he shall fall into the pit. And this refers to someone who's passively listening without protesting. Omar of Oshia, Kol Hamemarek Atzmo Lavera, and the Hebrew translation is Mefana Libo Mishari Sukov Lasok Baveros. He clears his schedule and wants to dedicate his time to do very bad things. Ischaburos Uptsoim Yotzimlo, he'll break out with welts and wounds, all over his body. Shenemar Poskim Mishle, Chaburos, Petza Tamruk Bira. Injuries and wounds accompany one who purges himself for evil. And in the Hebrew translation, he says that, Chaburos uptzoim boim al hamamarik atzol lasos ra v'lo dai b'kach shenenesh b'chaburos uptzoim el shenenash shenidon b'hadrokon b'choli habeten. And choli habeten here is a reference to some sort of sickness which expresses itself in the symptom of swelling of the stomach, swelling of tissues throughout the body, swelling in various bodily cavities. That's called hadrokon. Shenemar, it says in the next part of this pasuk Mishlei, umakos chadre boten. And ailments of the inner parts of the stomach, the skin itself. Just 1 second. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Simon LaVera Hadrokon. Does somebody deliberately commits an Avera, then an indicator of this transgression is the presence of Hadrokon. And in the Marsha, he identifies this Avera as the Chet of Znus, and Hadrokon is therefore an indication that he violated Znus. Now the Gemara goes on to a different discussion about the Avera of Znus and Hadrokon. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa, Shlosha Mine Hadrokon. There are three categories of Hadrokon. Shalavera, which is referring to immorality or to Znus. And Ova, the skin becomes thick and swells. Shalra'ov and Hanigram Machmas Ra'ov, which I guess means that this kind of hadrokon is typical of ra'av, just like the belly swells in a case of famine. And tapuach, which he says means oro misnapeach, once again his skin swells me al basaro, umismali mayim, it gets full of water, bein oral basar, between the skin and the flesh, and shel kshofim dak, sorcery, and I guess the punishment for sorcery is dak, that the skin is very, very weak, very thin. Shmuel HaKotan fell sick, afflicted with hadrokon. Omar, so he says to the Ribbono Shalom, Mi mafis itse. Mi matel goro lahavchin elodia shlobolai acholi ekev avera. Halo yavo lahotzi olai laz shecholisi machmas avera shavarti. And itse, as a result of this prayer, in which Shmuel was afraid that someone would attribute my affliction, says Shmuel, to immorality, he says, as a result of this heartfelt prayer, that Shmuel HaKotan feared that people would read his symptoms and presume they had contracted a hadrokon for this immorality, Hashem heard his prayer, itse, and he became cured. Abaye Choshbe, once Abaye was afflicted with hadrokon. Omar Rava declared, Yodanabe Benachmeni, I know for sure about Abaye, whose name was Nachmeni, that the Machfin Nafshe, that he deprives himself of food, and that's why he got sick. There's no reason to suspect him of any avera. Rava Choshpe. Rava also was afflicted by this disease called hadrokon. So the Gemara asked for Rava Hu Diomar. Isn't it Rava himself who said, Nefishe Ktile Kedar Menefiche Kafan? More numerous are those who die by the pots than those whose stomachs are swelled through hunger. Rabim him amesim machmas sha'otzru nikvehem. In other words, when they had to go, they didn't go. And me amesim badrokon shenigmar lehem rav. More frequently than those who are afflicted with hadrokon because of famine. So the Gemara is asking, how did Rava contract hadrokon, since he himself said, Yodanabe bin Achmeni, he testified about Abaye, that Abaye was not guilty of immorality. It means that Rava wasn't happy about the fact that Abaye would starve himself. And therefore, Rav himself for sure would have been careful about that. So you're not able to say that the reason why he contracted hadrokon is because of his undernourishment, because certainly Rav was careful about that. And when it comes to Atziras Nekovim, that he has to go and he goes, for sure Rav was not suspect on that. He was the one who warned us about that. So then the question is, so why did Rava contract this disease called hadrokon? And the Gemara answers, Shani Rava, the Unse Le Rabbanan Be'idne Bal Karcha, Talmidim HaKavu Alahem Eis Lilmod Lefanov Ansu Lahashos Nekovav Shelo Yochol Lahafsik Mi Lamdom Bandrokon. So it's almost as if the Talmidim kept him against his will from relieving himself on a regular basis. And apparently it would have been a busha for Rava to check out in the middle of his shir in order to go to the bathroom. Now, as a general rule, it's not permissible to delay relieving oneself. Tan Rabbanan, Arba simonim heim, there are four indicators of chet. Simon l'avera. And when we talk about avera here, we're talking about znus. And one of the four simonim is this, the disease called hadrokon. And achola b'hadrokon, that's a simon that he was guilty of this sin of immorality, of znus. And simon l'sinas chinam is yerokon. The disease of yerokon, which is loosely translated as jaundice, and morikim panov, is, since he has this jaundice, we can assume that he was guilty of sinas chinam. Now let's see if we can figure out the connection between the two. Just one second here. He has here. One second. 50. Ah, I don't have access to the Ben Yehoyada here. Sima legasas ruach, if a person is guilty of arrogance, is then anius. And the word anius here, which literally means poverty, Rashi says it means paucity in Torah knowledge. Hamizgoya mimait l'shamesh rabosa v'chozer v'lachzer al Talmudo l'fichach ein Talmudo miskayim v'yodo. So because he's not careful about serving Talmid Chacham, about reviewing his lessons, therefore his Torah will not remain with him. And he is kind of like a gasruach. He's playing an arrogant role over here. In other words, he's going to tell you, well, I hardly review my lessons, but I know it by heart. And if you were to test him, he would probably fail. A misgoyer, if he's so arrogant, memayit l'shamesh rabosav, and it's ein talmudu miskayim biyodah. What's the simon for Lashon Hara? Askara. Askara is some sort of a very dangerous disease that affects your throat. It starts down in the intestines, but it finishes up in the throat. And if a person is guilty of the sin of Lashon Hara, then he'll be punished in his throat with Askara. Now, we go to a discussion about Askara. Tana Rabbanan. Askara Ba'im Li'olam. And here we're turning to Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis. Al Hamaser. Somebody eats Tevel, and he wasn't mafresh shumas and maisros, then his punishment, which is misa v'dei shamayim, since he violated the Torah with achila by eating tevel, therefore he will suffer derech grono, and mida keneged mida, it will be the choli amaskel b'meayim v'nigmar b'goron. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi Omer, al Lashon Hara. Askara is a punishment for Lashon Hara. Omar Rava, Vitema, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Maikra, Vamelech Yismach Belokim, Yisalel Kol Anishbalo, Ki Yisachar Pi Dovrei Shoker. The king shall rejoice in God. Glorified will be everyone who swears truthfully by him, when the mouth of the liars will be stopped. And this phrase of Dovrei Shoker is a reference to those who speak Lashon Hara. And their punishment is Yisaker. And that's the terrible disease of Askara. Ibailu, the Gemara has a suffix. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Aloshin Harakomar, Odilma, Af Aloshin Harakomar, Nami Komar. In other words, when Rabbi Lazar said that askara is a punishment for slanderous speech, lashon hara, what did he have in mind? Did he have in mind only lashon hara? Or perhaps he was saying that even for lashon hara, afal lashon hara, he'd ba'a. In other words, it's either slander or perhaps a transgression of the maser laws, that he was careless about maser. Toshma, the Gemara wants to respond and quote a brisa, Kshenichnusu Rabboseinu lekerem biyavne, Hayasham Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Nishal Ashelazu Bifneim, Makazu, this Maka of Askara, Mifne Ma, Mascheles, Bibne Meayim, Vigomeres, Bipeh. So when the sages left Yerushalayim, they entered the vineyard in Yavne, and before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great sage of his generation, he asked for the town of Yavne. And there he proceeded to reestablish the Sanhedrin in Yavne. And that academy was known as Kerem B'Yavne, because the scholars sat in ordered rows, much like the rows in the vineyard. And when they went into Kerem B'Yavne, Rabbi Yehuda was amongst the Chazal who came there, and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi was there, Rabbi Shimon was there, and the question was asked in front of them, Makazu, this askara, what is it? Why does it start out in the innards of a person, which is called, in the Lashon HaGemara, B'nei Me'ayim, and then it is Gomeris B'peh, and it concludes by afflicting the mouth. So the deadly symptoms of askara occur in the mouth and in the throat, and this disease causes strangulation. And when the Gemara says that the infection begins in the intestinal tract, it refers to digestive difficulties that result in, later on, in the deadly results that are outlined here by this Gemara. Nena, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Loi, Rosh HaMedabrim, he was the first of the speakers, and this has to do with the order of Chazal, and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Iloi was actually appointed by the government, by a decree of the government, to be the first of the speakers. And he answered this question. He said, Afal pi she chloyos yoetzos, even though the kidneys advise a person, v'lev maven, and the heart discerns and knows, v'loshe mechatech, and the tongue articulates words, peh gomer, the mouth concludes the process of speech. And that's the reason why the mouth bears the final punishment for slanderous speech. So he says that libo shel adam kidei ladas malasos is kloyos yotzos, and the kloyos, in this case the kidneys, gave him this bad recommendation to speak lashon hara. Lev maven, the heart understands whether or not to listen to the eitzah of the kidneys to speak lashon hara, and when the heart decides to speak lashon hara and create, you know, bodedvarim, create new stories for lashon mechatech, and the tongue will begin to express these words, hapeh gomer, the peh completes the dibur of lashon hara, and that's when the voice, the sounds, come out. Therefore, askara, which comes as a punishment for lashon hara, begins in the intestines. These are the internal organs of a person. Vigomeres b'peh, but it ends up in the mouth. Nida keneged mida. So that was the answer of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi. Nena Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi v'Amar, and his answer was as to why this disease begins in the intestines, it ends in the throat. Mivnei sha'ochlim ba dvarim tmeim, because of the consumption of non-kosher food, shebaim libnei ameyayim derech hapeh, and they go into the intestines through the mouth, and therefore the person who eats these non-kosher foods will be struck, first of all, afflicted with askara, which is midah keneged midah. By eating non-kosher food that go into his stomach, through his mouth, so the punishment starts on in his intestines, and then it goes through his mouth. So the Gemara asks immediately, Dvarim tmeim salkadaitach? Could it be that askara is a punishment for eating things that you're not allowed to eat, non-kosher food? After all, askara is going to bring about his death, and he's not guilty of a capital crime that he should die for this. In the case of Mesaper Lashon Hara, the Pasuk says, in Tehillim Kuf Aleph, Malshine b'seiser ra'eu oso atzmis. Atzmis means I will destroy him. Ela, but rather, sha'ochlim ba, with the mouth, dvarim she'ena misukanim. He eats something without hafrashas, trumas, and maestras. And the punishment for eating tevel is misa b'dei shamayim, and it'll be punished with askara, which begins with his intestines and end in his throat, in his mouth. And that's midah keneged midah. Nena Rabbi Shimon v'Omar bavon bitol Torah. The punishment of askara is for someone who's mevatel Torah, for neglecting the study of Torah. His punishment is death. And this is based on the Gemara that we had back on Lamed Beis, that darshans the pasuk of Laman Yirbu Yemechem on that which comes Lifnai Vilifnim, on Vilimaditim Osam Espinechem. And if he doesn't teach Torah, then his days will be limited. Now it's interesting, the question that was asked in front of these Chachamim was not what was the sin that caused askara. They were asking why askara begins in the intestines and ends in the mouth. Rabbi Yehuda answered, and that makes sense, that this is a punishment for Lashon Hara, and then it comes in a similar way to Lashon Hara. Or for example, Rabbi Loza's answer that we're talking about the sin of Achilas Tevel. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't really address the question, why does askara begin in the stomach as a punishment for Bittul Torah? Again, it could be Bittul Torah is the cause of askara, but why does it happen, the phenomenon express itself in that particular way? Why does it begin in the Bnei Be'ayin and end in the Peh? So one of the Achronim here, quoted in the Masifta, says that perhaps Halev Maven is Divrei Torah, Peg Gomer Shemotziim Vepiv, Lachay Nenesh Biaskra Mida Keneged Mida Al Shabita Al Slibo Milahavid Divrei Torah, Vespiv Milahotziim. So the sin starts inside, in his heart, where he doesn't use his heart to understand the wisdom of the Torah. The sin culminates in his peh, because he doesn't speak Divrei Torah. And that's why he's going to be punished in that way with askara, in that particular form. So then we spoke about maser, and we spoke about bittul Torah. Amar lo, the Chacham turned to Reb Shimon. Nashim yochichu. In other words, women are not guilty of bittul Torah, they're not obligated in Torah, but yet they too suffer from askara. It's not just limited to the men folk. And that should be a chacha, that the cause of askara is not the avon of bittul Torah. So Rav Shimon responds, Shemevatlos es baleim. They're also guilty of bittul Torah because they cause their husbands to fail to study Torah, to neglect the study of Torah. And the Gemara now asks, Nachrim Yochichu, I mean, Goyim also suffer from Askara, even though they're not obligated in the study of Torah. Shemevatlin Es Yisrael Mitorah. In other words, they cause the Jewish people to neglect the study of Torah. And that's why they suffer from Askara. Tinokos Yochichu. What about children who Nebuch are afflicted with Askara? They're not chayiv in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're too young for that. And the answer is Shemevatlim Es Avihim, because they cause their fathers to be neglectful in the study of Torah. I get the impression here that we're talking about young adults, maybe a 12-year-old. I'm not sure exactly what age here. He says here, Shematrichin es avoseim l'tayel imoim v'litein l'emine mesika. But why should they be suffering for that? He says here in the footnote, the name is Fas Emes, Bavari Eina Tinokos Mesim Machmas Chet Om, Shrei Eino Bnei Onshim. So this has to be really understood. Tinokos shall base Rabban, they aren't neglecting the Torah study, they don't cause their father to neglect so, and yet they also suffer from Askara, Yochichu. So again, this is going to be a proof that it's not Bittul Torah that causes Askara. And Reb Shimon responds, Hossam, in the case of Tinoko Shabbos Rabban, the reason they die with Askara is Kidder Rabbi Gurion. The Omer Rabbi Gurion, the Itema, the say was Rabbi Yosef, Reb Shmaya, Bizman Shat Tzadikim Bador, Tzadikim Nitfosim Aladar. Ein tzadikim b'dor, tinokos shel beis rabam nitfasim al ador. Tinokos shel beis rabam are children who are old enough to learn Torah. They are engaged in the study of Torah with their teachers. And it's highly unlikely that they would distract their fathers from Torah study. They don't cause others to neglect Torah study. And there's no reason why they're susceptible to Askara. So the Gemara answers, Hosam Kid Rabbi Gurion. The Omer Rav Gurion Vitema Rav Yossi Rav Yosef Rav Shmaya Bizman Shat Sadikim Bidor. When there's righteous people in a generation, Sadikim Nitposim Aladar, these righteous people are ensnared because of the sins of the generation, suffering befalls them. Ain't tzaddikim b'dor, if there are no righteous people in that generation, then tinoko shel beis rabam nitfasim al ador. And the Maral explains that the Jewish people is not merely a collection of individuals, it's an integral unit, like a human body, made up of different organs and limbs, comprises an integrated, unified being. And there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes certain parts of the body to suffer for the sins of the organism as a whole. And when this occurs, the punishment is directed against the essential part of the organism. For in effect, this is a strike against the body as a whole. In the case of the Jewish people, this would mean that suffering is sometimes directed against the most righteous of individuals, because those people are the community's support and lifeblood. If in a particular generation there are no righteous people, the essential part of the community is its school children, for it is through the merit of their innocent Torah study the community draws its sustenance. In this case, the school children can be afflicted for the sins of the generation. Omer Ab Yitzchak Bar Ze'iri, Omer Ab Shimon Bar Ben Nezira, Maikra. What is the pasuk that's going to prove? And he quotes a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Lo Seidila Chayofav Anashim, if you know not where to graze, O fairest of women, Tzeilach Be'ikve Atzon, follow the footsteps of the sheep, then you can graze your kids amongst the dwellings of other shepherds. V'amrinon, and regarding this pasuk we say, Gidoyim HaMemushkanim al haroim. The kids are a collateral for the shepherds. And the end of this pasuk is ureiyas gidiosayich al mishkanos haroim. You can graze your kids amongst the dwellings of other shepherds. And the word mishkanos, like the word mashkon, a collateral, implies that we read this pasuk that the kids, the young school children, should serve as collateral for the shepherds, for the scholars and the leaders of the generation. Should the generation be bereft of scholars, the school children become the collateral, and they may bear the brunt of the generation's iniquities. And Rashi provides the following interpretation. He says, if you do not know how to observe my commandments, then follow the footsteps of the sheep, seek mercy from God in the merit of the Avos, so that your kids will not serve as collateral for the shepherds. Shmamino, we see from this brisa that when Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi said that Askra comes for slanderous speech, Afal Loshon Hara Nami Kamar, even for slanderous speech, and also it comes for the neglect of the Maaser Law, Shmamino. Now Rabbi Yehuda was introduced here in this price as the Rosh Hamadabrim B'chol Mokom. Amai Korolei Rosh Hamadabrim B'chol Mokom. The Yasvi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, the three great Tanoim were sitting together. The Yosef Yehuda Ben Gerim Gabayu, Yehuda, who is the son of Gerim, in other words, the son of proselytes, was sitting next to him. Pasach Rabbi Yehuda V'Omar, Rabbi Yehuda opened up the discussion and he said, Kamenoim Maseyem Shal Umazu, how admirable are the deeds of the nations. In other words, the Romans who ruled Eretz Yisrael at that time, Tiknu Shvakim, they established marketplaces throughout the land, urban planning, as yes, you'd say. In other words, they set up the cities in a way that the marketplaces were conveniently situated. Tiknu Gesharim, they established bridges over waterways. Tiknu Merchatzos, they established bathhouses. And Rabbi Yossi Shosak. Rabbi Yossi, when he heard Rabbi Yehuda praise the Roman occupation, he remained silent. Nano Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'Omar. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai answered and said, Kol ma shetiknu lo tiknu el litzorech atzman. Everything that they established was for their own purposes, to serve their own needs. Tiknu shvakim lahoshiv bem zonos. They wanted to establish marketplaces in order to quarter harlots. Merchatzos, they made bathhouses, laden bem atzman, to improve and beautify their bodies. Ksharim lito me'am meches, they built bridges in order to collect tolls from those who would cross these bridges. Holach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siper divrein. Yehuda witnessed the exchange amongst these Tanoim. He went and recounted their words to some of their associates. In other words, he told his students about their discussion. Perhaps he told his parents. His intention was not malicious. He certainly did not directly inform the Romans of this conversation. Nevertheless, the words of this exchange eventually reached the ears of the authorities, as the Gemara is going to tell us. V'nishma l'malchus, when the reports of this conversation were heard by the governing authorities, Amru, the authorities proclaimed the following decree, Yehuda She'ila, Yehuda, who elevated the statue of the Romans, Yis'ala, he should be elevated, and he was proclaimed the honor of speaking first at every occasion. Yossi She'shosak, Yossi, who remained silent, he did not participate in actively praising the Romans himself. Yigla Litzipori, he should be exiled to the town of Tzipori in the north, which later became the seat of the Sanhedrin. Shimon Shegina, of Shimbar Yochai, who denigrated the Romans, Yehoreg, will be executed. Ozal Hu Ubrei Toshu Be Midrasha. when Rav Shimon bar Yochai heard about this, that a death sentence had been passed upon him, he and his son Rav Lozer ran away. They hid in the Torah study hall. Kol yom avi maisilu debesu. Every day Rav Shimon's wife would bring them rifta, a loaf of bread, kuza, demaya, a small pitcher of water, the karvi, and they would eat this to sustain themselves. Kitakif gzeirasa, however, the decree intensified. The Romans escalated their hunt for the fugitives. Omole lebre, Rav Shimon said to his son, Noshim daiton kalosaleim, the minds of women are easily swayed. Dilma mitzairile, maybe they'll torture your mother, right? Umagalilon, and she'll reveal our hiding place to them. So therefore, they sought out a more secure hiding place, a location which would not even be known to Rav Shimon's wife. Ozlu toshu bimarosa. They went and they hid themselves inside a cave. They no longer had food. Israchish nisa, a miracle happened. Ibralu charuva vieno demaya. A carob tree was created for them. A spring of water was created for them. And they drew their sustenance from the carob tree and from the water. Vami mishalchi manayu. And they shed their clothes. Vami yasvi ad savareim becholo. They would sit in sand up until their necks. Kuliyoma garsi. And they would learn Torah the whole day long. Be'idon tsaluye. When it was time for davening. Lovshu michsake umatzli. They would get dressed, cover themselves, and pray. V'hadar mishalchi minayu. They would take off their clothes again, immerse themselves in the sand once again. Ki hechi delo livli. So their clothes would not become worn out. Isvu tresar shani bimarota. They dwelled in seclusion in the cave for 12 years. Os Elio v'koma pischa demarosa. Elio anovi came, and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Omar, and he proclaimed, Man lode lebar yoche demis kesar. Who will inform the son of Yochai that the Caesar had died, ubotel gzerte, and the decree has been annulled? Nafku, Rav Shimon ben Yochai and his son heard this. They emerged from the cave, chazu inshi, and they returned to civilization. They saw some people, dekakarve vizore, who were plowing a field and sowing crops. Omar, they were upset, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai declares, meinichim chayolam v'oskim b'chayisha, they're forsaking the pursuit of the life of the world to come, occupying themselves with transitory life. They forsake the study of Torah in favor of pursuing a livelihood. It was Rav Shimon bar Yochai who advocated the position that one should devote his life exclusively to the pursuit of Ratzon Hashem, to the study of Torah, and he'll find himself sustained by God. There's no need for him to spend so much time and labor in guaranteeing to provide for his own needs. And kol makom shenosnei nehem, any time that Rav Shimon bar Yochai and his son would cast their gaze upon the people, miad nisraf, anything would be burnt. Question whether you take this literally. Yotza bas kol v'yomalehem, and a heavenly voice came out and said, la'achrav olami yitzasem, you came out of the cave in order to destroy my world, chizu l'mar sechem, go back to the cave. Hodorozel. So the two of them went back to the cave. Isvu tresar yarchi shata. And they dwelled there for another 12 months, a full year. This is year number 13. Amri. And they said to themselves, Mishpat Rishon beGehenim Shneim Asar Chodesh. The sentence and the punishment for evildoers in Gehenim is for a period of no more than 12 months. And perhaps our sentence has been expired by now. Yotza baskal v'yomet tzu'u mimaraseichem, emerge from your cave. Nafku, they came out of the cave. Once again, they saw people who were seeking their livelihood. And kol hecha davi mochi rabbi Elazar, everywhere Rabbi Elazar would destroy something with his fiery gaze. Havi masi rabbi Shimon. Rav Shimon then, his father would heal it. Omar lo, So Rabbi Shimon says, so Lozer b'ni dai la olam ani ve'ata. The world has enough total devotees to Torah and Torah study in you and me alone. We don't have to hold others responsible not to live up to the standards, our standards of devotion and diligence. Bahari Panya, as night began to fall, B'mali Shabbos on Friday afternoon, Chazu Ahu Saba, Rav Shimon and his son saw a certain old man, Davi Nokit Shrei Midone Asa. He was clutching two bundles of hadassim, of myrtles. He was bringing them so that they can smell the pleasant smell on Shabbos. V'royit ben hashmashos. He was running home with them just as twilight descended. Omrulei, they turned to him. Hani lomali. What are you doing with these myrtle bundles? Omar lehu, he answered them, l'chvod Shabbos, in honor of the Shabbos. V'tizge lon loch b'shchad. So Reb Shimon and Reb Lozer asked him, why not one? Why do you need two bundles? Chad keneged zochar v'chad keneged shomar. Omar le lebrei. Reb Shimon turns to his son. Chazi, take a look. Kamachavivin mitzos al Yisrael. How the Jewish people cherish the mitzvahs, every nuance of the law, they celebrate. Yosef datayu, they were appeased. Shoma Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor chasone, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor, who was the son-in-law of Rashbi of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, heard that Rabbi Shimon had come out of there with his son of the hiding place. But Nofa Kliapi went out to greet them. Aile levei bonei. He escorted them into the bathhouse. Havika orich le lebisre, and he was massaging his flesh. Chazi dahavi be pile begufe, and he noticed that there were cracks in Reb Shimon's skin. Havika bachi, Reb Pinchas began to cry, seeing the vestiges of those painful years spent in the abrasive sand. V'kanosru dimas ene, the tears trickled from his eyes. V'kametzav chalei, they fell upon the cracks in Reb Shimon's skin and caused him to cry out in pain. Omerle, so Reb Pinchas ben Yor said to his father-in-law, Oili shirisicha bekach, woe to me for having seen you like this. Omalei Reb Shimon replied to him, on the contrary, Ashrecha Shirisani Bekach. Fortunate you for having seen me like this. Shel Mola Lo Risani Bekach. If you had not seen me in such a state, the marks of my physical agony, Lo Matzasa Bekach, you would not have found me, found without me much. In other words, all the Torah that I possess, it's a result of all the physical agony that I suffered, that I bared for all those years. The Gemara explains, the Meikara, meaning from the beginning, before the years of seclusion, Ki Avi Makshi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Kusha, if Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai would ask a question, Havi Mefarik Le Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer, his son-in-law, would offer him Tresar Peruki, no less than 12 answers to the question of Basof. But after Reb Shimon spent all those years in the cave, Ki Avi Makshi Reb Pinchas Ben Yor Kusha, if Reb Pinchas Ben Yor would pose a question, I mean, Farik like Reb Shimon Ben Yochai, Esrim Vi Arba Piruke, 24 different solutions to the problem. Now, just give me a second over here to move this around, sorry. Oh, let's see if we can find this here. Oh, here it is. He says that Yotzal Lekroso Yehichnis Rabbi Pinchas es Rabbi Shimon Lebeis HaMerchatz and Rabbi Shimon Sakein Umachlik es Besaro. Okay, and then he sees that Yesh Lo Stokim V'Besaro, okay, that we discussed, and he was Boche. And that's pretty much what we saw before. Omar, Rabbi Shimon declared, Hol Visrachish Nisa, I was saved from the Romans by a miracle, Ezil Askin Milsa, Elich Vasakin L'Rabim Dovratzach Tikun. let me do something to remedy, to benefit the community. Just like Yaakov Avinu, when he came to the city of Shechem, after he met Esav on the way back from Beis Lavan, and he was saved, Dechsiv, Vayovo Yaakov Sholem, Ish, Ir Shechem, Asher Be'eretz Kanan Bevo, Mipad Aram, V'Omar Rav, Sholem Begufo, Sholem Be'Mamono, Sholem Be'Toraso, and then Vayichan Espnei Ha'ir. Now what does it mean, Vayichan Es Pnei Ha'ir, which literally translates as he encamped before the city? And here we have a machlokis. Omar Rav. Rav says, Matbea Tikein Lehem. Yaakov established a new coin for the city. Coins would bear an imprint distinct to that particular city, such as a seal. So Pnei Ha'ir, the face of the city here, hints at the notion that Yaakov acted graciously towards the city by minting a new coin. The creation of new currency was a substantial benefit for the city, for previously the people had used coins of other kingdoms. Now the city had its own coins, and that adds and enhances its political stature and its prestige. Shmuel Omar, Shvokim Tikein Lehem. Yaakov established marketplaces for them. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Merchatzos Tikein Lehem. He established bathhouses for them. So we see that Yaakov expressed his thanks for a miracle by establishing some sort of municipal benefit to the community, and this was the precedent that Rav Shimon bar Yochai sought to follow. And now he says, Sholem begufo, Vayakov Yaakov Sholem, Sholem begufo, Shinisrapi mitzli tzli also, from his limping. Sholem b'mamono, Sholem nechsar mamono machmas hadoron sheshalach li Esav. He sent an expensive gift to Esav. Sholem b'toros shochach talmudo machmas torach haderech. Okay. So now, Omar Rav Shimon lebnei Ha'ir, he says to the people of the city, Iko milsa debali takune, is there something that needs rectification? How can I be of help? Something to improve? Amrule, they replied to him, Ika duchte de ispe suffik tuma. We know of a location that has a questionable status with regard to tuma. And here we turn to Daf Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph. The islahu Sara Lakonim Lakufe, and the Konim are a little bit bothered here. It's difficult for them to circumvent this area. Perhaps it was a main thoroughfare in the town, and there were corpses that were buried there, perhaps. And if exactly where the graves would be located, they don't know. And the Konim, since there also be Tumas Mess, therefore they have to avoid the entire area. They take a long time, circuitous route, going around this main thoroughfare. So Rav Shimon bar Yochai took it upon himself to make this area accessible to the Kohen. Omar, he declared, Ika inish di yoda dischazek hocha taro. Perhaps there are people, or one person at least, who knows exactly which part of this shuk is tar, and that for sure there's no Beis HaKvaros in that area. And Omalu Ahusaba, one of the elderly gentlemen, said, Kan, here in this marketplace, Kitzetz ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in this very place, cut turmisei, some sort of a legume, in English they call it lupines, truma of truma. And if he did it, it must mean because this area is tahar. Avad iu nami hachi. Rav Shimon also did the same. What does it mean? Asa gam Rav Shimon kach shekotzatz turmosim upizram al mokom asafek v'nase nes v'tzof hames l'kivun pi hakarka. So Rabbi Shimon did the same. Kol hechad avikoshe He combed the whole entire area, and everywhere where the ground was hard, Tare, he pronounced this Tar. The Kol Hechad Avirafe, any place where the ground was soft, Tzaine, he marked it off as Tameh. So the Kohanim were now able to travel through the area. Now they simply avoided locations that were marked as Tameh. But as we said before, there was a miracle here that Nasa Nes Vitzof HaMes L'Kivun Pi HaKarka. Somehow the corpses just somehow gravitated towards this place that he had designated Sinai as Tomei. Omar Ahu Saba, that same elderly person who had told Reb Shimon about the status of that place, he said, Tier Ben Yochai Beis HaKvaros. Bar Yochai has made a cemetery Tahar. So apparently he's casting aspersions on Reb Shimon's actions here. He's claiming that Reb Shimon had pronounced Tahar an area which was actually riddled with graves, or full of graves. Amalei, Reb Shimon turns to that elderly person, Ahu's Saba, and he declares, Il mole lo ayisa imanu, if you weren't there with me at the time that I purified this place, I would have said that I wasn't noe kalocha. Maybe I didn't do the right thing. Afilu ayisa imanu, and even had you been with us, 1 second. Velo nimnesa imanu, and you didn't agree to be counted with us and agree to this action, this course of action, yafata omer, then you would be saying something to the point. But achshav shayisa imanu v'nimnesa imanu letaro, you were with us at the time, you were counted amongst us, so therefore, What you have said now has the wrong implication, the wrong consequences. Yomru, now people are going to say, having heard your words, that Zonos, Mepharkasos, Edzo, harlots braid one another's hair, to make them beautiful. Is Talmid Chacham lo kolshken? Torah scholars certainly should be respectful of one or the other. Kol echad la tzadik divrei chaver la hatzdik. He should try to justify what his friend, the Torah scholar, says. And instead, you're being ma'ar on what I did. Yoav be'enim v'nochem v'nashem. And Reb Shimon cast his eyes upon him and he perished. That's a pretty severe thing, because this person publicly said something disparaging to a Torah scholar. It's a grave crime, and it's deserving of death. Nafik Lishuka. So Reb Shimon went out to the marketplace. Chazye Yehuda ben Gerim. And he saw Yehuda ben Gerim, the person whose words brought about the whole decree that originally threatened Reb Shimon's life. Omar, he said, Adayin yesh la zeba olam. This guy is still alive. Nasan bo enov, vaso gal shalat somos. He put his eyes upon him, and he turned to a heap of bones. And in the note here, he says, Hayim Yishum Sharashoim Gam Bechayim Nikroim Mesim L'chein Nikra Nirkav Bisoro Miyat. It seems like his body just disintegrated immediately. Ki'ilu Kfar Mes Mizman, as if he was dead for a long time. Now, Tosus, Dira Maschel Hochi Garcina writes that Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gerim was an Onam Gadol. We mentioned this earlier. He didn't have Kavona to be a Moser, and he only mentioned it to his Bnei Beiso. So he says, Lefi Zeh, Ein ligros kan loshon gnai v'aso galshel atzomos elenoch nafshe, which means that he just died. Now, if we understand from Rashi, back on Daf Lamed Gimel and Beis, that when Yehuda ben Gerim repeated Reb Shimon's words, his intent was not malicious. Nevertheless, his words were deemed slander, and it was for this reason that he was now punished. There is another opinion that this Yehuda ben Gerim was not a scholar. He was a malevolent person, an evil person, reported to Reb Shimon's words directly to the Roman authorities, seeking to harm him. And this, Reb Osai, leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Lamed Dalid Omid Aleph. And Emirat Hashem will pick that up in the next year.